Hebrews chapter 4 tonight, Hebrews chapter number 4. Some verses in Hebrews 4 that you'll know. Hebrews 4's got verse 12 in it that a lot of folks know. Hebrews is a lot of fun going through tonight, and it's funny. That's not funny. It is funny. It's comical. I'm going to preach on rest tonight, and rest, and man alive, what a deal. I told my wife I feel diplomatically and bureaucratically whipped tonight, that I'm whipped. I've learned a lot. It's been good for me. It just makes you want to get up and go, but here's some of these good folks speak, and you just feel like, boy, they're fighting against the windmill, and just like, you just, man. It's the, the free throw line to the hoop, the front of the rim is 15 feet. Like if you play on a regulation court, it's 10'0" to the top of the rim. Anything other than that, you got to get used to, And the stuff has just gone from like being regulation to just goofiness, right? And so you're trying, but it's like, I think Madam Speaker sleeps while everybody talks. I don't know how you can sit up there and not. There's some good people. There's some good ladies that spoke today. They didn't play them all, but I heard a lot of them. And there's people trying. You don't see that. I mean, they been really impressed listening to the Newsmax news station, Plan of Salvation and commercials. It comes on the station, talks about we're patriots, we're believers, we're this, we're that. And I said, I like that. So a lot of the hosts are former military. They've all served the country, and they have a hard time keeping their cool sometimes because you got these meatheads that haven't built a chicken coop for the country or anything. You haven't done nothing. And I've learned a lot, so it's been good that way. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. It's never wrong to do the right thing. You just keep doing the right thing. And the more you do the right thing, people doing the wrong thing is going to look really bad. And some people are going to come around and say, wow, looking the right thing looks really good right now. And yeah, it is. It always is. Hebrews 4 tonight. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise, being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Father, we pray that you bless tonight our open Bibles, Lord. We thank you so much for the opportunity. Lord, we just pray people would be anchored in the truth right now. And Father, decisions would be made based on truth. We love you. We thank you for all that you do for us. Pray that you bless the young people downstairs and upstairs tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Verse 19 of chapter 3, the Bible talked about not being able to enter in because of unbelief, and that entering in is the rest. And say, well, what's it talking about here if it's a rest? Chapter 4 compares Christ's creation rest to a similar type of rest the believer's supposed to find. And basically, that Jesus is your all in all. You see people working for a salvation. They're a tormented soul. And they may think that, boy, it's good, but the more they go, say, what is life? Is this all life's about? How do I know? I mean, the awesome thing about putting a goal down is you can make gains towards it. Salvation is not a goal. It's not, well, my goal is to get saved. No, Jesus already paid for it. All you got to do is receive it. You can't work your way towards it. So for somebody to set salvation up as a goal, instead of a gift that Christ gives, you'll wear yourself out. In the end, you'll be like, well, how do I know what I need? So this rest that God gives us is knowing that, hey, in Christ, we're secure. That gives me rest. I mean, no matter what happens, I promise you, I listen to a ton of people when it comes to like all the event stuff that's going on now. I used to go to prison services. One of the gentlemen that used to come, and he was big into this stuff, the conspiracy stuff, and he'd always talk about stuff. And I just like, man, I just can't wait till I'm retired so Just joking, bro. I just don't know where it all comes from. But then you start listening to him, and he's like, wow, that sounds pretty credible. That sounds pretty good, you know? And then I'm like thinking, oh, Lord. You know, and I'm thinking, man, I wish Josh was here. Just absolutely, I'm so glad you guys are back. I said, this is his business. He would know some of this stuff. I could bounce it off it, like, you know, and I asked Brother Rich, I had to bounce stuff off. I'm like, Brother Rich, it's like, you can't be in the dark on this. You're an important person. Or anything yet, you know? And it's like, okay. So I, you know, but that being said, you say, you look at all this and it's like, well, what do I do? Do I zig or do I zag? I rest in Jesus. I just rest in Jesus. The Bible says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now it is interesting, okay, because we have verse 2, it says the gospel was preached. And 16:3 says, for some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. They say, well, they preached the gospel in the Old Testament. Oh, it didn't sound like the New Testament gospel per se, but it was the truth in God. It was Jehovah God's truth to them. And they had a choice to believe it or not, just like we had. So you don't have to worry about getting twisted up there and reading and says, well, they preached the gospel in the Old Testament just like the Bible talks about the baptism they received being in God, following God and being baptized. And when they were in God, God surrounded them. He had them covered by a cloud by the day and a fire by night. The Bible talks about them being the called out group. It's the first time where that ecclesiastical calling out, the word church group is used because it's the people. Verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. It's been done for a long time. It's God's plan. This rest that he would have us to be in, it's part of the plan. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. So we see in this 4:5 and 4 and 5 here, a comparison between Christ's rest day after creation. It's weird to think God got tuckered out, and I don't think he did. I think he just, everything he does for a pattern for us. As God that doesn't, he doesn't need what we need, but he shows us things that we need. And we kind of hit on that a little bit Sunday morning, Christ being baptized by John Baptist. He shows us our need, our reaction when we're tempted by the devil, the things that we need to do, submit to God, resist. Those things. God doesn't need it yet, but we need it. We need those things. And this rest in him and understanding, we just can't get too spun up. We can't get in our mind thinking, oh, Lord, you've done this. It is frustrating. It is frustrating. Because we're shooting for righteousness, not mediocrity, not somewhere in the middle. We don't talk about our Christianity as far right or conservative, or we're conservative Christians. What would that mean? No, we're followers of Christ. There is no shades of it. You're either in line with Jesus, you're a disciple of Jesus, right? And look how the Sadducees and the different groups would even pick apart and compare the difference between the disciples. But I said, well, you're not like John's disciples, right? Because they said, well, they do this, or you do this. And they would look at those things, and that there was things that they followed. And following Christ, boy, it's hard. It's hard. I think it's a higher level. I think it is and I believe that. I believe it's a higher calling than to be a part of any kind of political affiliation, no matter how mixing terms for groups. Orthodox Republicans, right? Or any of them. Like, we follow it by the letter. We're constitutional. Well, hey, following Christ is above that. It's above that. And the Lord's given us the place that we have, and that's what makes it frustrating. But says there's a rest. There's a rest in Christ, that He has everything under control. He's going to take care of all these things. Yes, we need to speak up. Yes, we need to speak up for the unborn. Yes, we need to speak up for those that can't speak for themselves. Yes, we need to say something. When people are doing the wrong thing and it's being accepted as okay, somebody needs to stand and say, hey, look, this isn't right. No, and not to be afraid of being censored. I mean, we've talked about that. Now we've seen it. We've just flat seen it. I don't like it. I don't like what you... and it's gone to financial institutions. It's gone to all... They're aiming for... Mine's not in my back pocket. Mine's in my front pocket. We're going to hit you where it counts. We're going to hit you in the pocketbook. We don't like what you have to say. Go somewhere else. Oh, you want a place to stay? Who do you vote for? And it's never been that way, right? We'd say it was criminal if you said, well, I'm sorry, sir, you're black. You can't stay here. You can't eat here because you're black. Get out of here. We don't serve your kind. Where I grew up is Native Americans, right? The Indians, no Indians here. None, zero. No, we won't serve your kind here. Totally wrong, right? Oh, but if it's an affiliation with some sort of belief group, then it's like, no, we don't serve your kind. It don't matter what color you are. We're not racist. we're good people. But no, we won't serve you. We see that. And it's frustrating. It is. But knowing this, that God has these things, and He asks us to enter into this rest. Rest doesn't mean we're doing nothing. It means, though, we're in a place where God has all these things. He's done them all. They've all been done from the foundation of the world. We just need to walk in them and trust them. Rest in the mind, you know, and you know what? This is the right thing to do. Well, how's it going to turn out? You don't have to worry about how it's going to turn out. Do righteousness. Do the right thing. And don't think, well, am I doing right or am I doing... It's never a bad time to do the right thing. Never. Never, never, never. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, verse 6, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Why do you think that is, that they wouldn't just simply trust God? That's, boy, I don't know, but you read the documentary, as they leave Egypt, it's all the things that they used to have, not what God's done for them and the things that God is going to do for them. They're looking in the past at all the things. I mean, I couldn't imagine looking back at slave days and saying, boy, I'd like to have those back again. I can't imagine. I mean, not even having experienced any of my own, but I just can't imagine for somebody else looking back and saying, boy, why would we not want to believe God and follow God? Verse 7, again, He limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would He not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God, period. There's going to be a day. Now, also in this, when it talks about a rest, we don't have to put up with this much longer. When Jesus comes, it's going to be over. I mean, it's going to be over. There, in the dispensations of time, there's still going to be conflict because the devil's not going to be chained yet. So that stuff's going to take place. But we're going to be in and out of it, right? We have our... the time where Jesus calls the church out. We're going to preach on that one of these Sundays. We're going to hit it again. We're going to hit on that and the day of the Lord both. Maybe it's Sunday morning, Sunday night. I don't know yet. But Jesus is going to call them up. Boom. Marriage supper of the Lamb. We have those times. We have the beginning of the tribulation. People think it's tough now. It's going to get ugly, ugly, ugly. And the Bible says God's going to put an end to that, because if He didn't, then there'd be no flesh left on the earth. He's going to come down. He's going to take account. And He's going to... He's going to do some things. He's going to set up his new kingdom here and say, well, what are you talking about? He says, well, there's still going to be conflict in those times, right? You say, the stuff that we're in now, the things we're in now, there's going to be a time where we're with Him and we get to rest. Get a break in that. I wear myself out keeping myself in line sometimes, you know, thinking the right thing and, man, just dying to self and not wanting to defend self and not getting puffed up and just trying to do that. Man, that We'll have to do that anymore. Praise the Lord. We will be with Him. So verse 9, it talks about that rest to the people of God represents that as well. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. I don't believe chapter 4 is just specifically saying, think about the day when you don't ever have to do anything ever again. You can just, you know, I just don't see that. But there's a day when we won't do the things that we do normally now. My wife's got a washer and dryer for Christmas. Every year she does her continuing education and they keep up and they get a work bonus thing and they say, I'm getting a, hey, you go for it. Whatever you want. I said, I won't pick it. I will carry it though and I will install it as long as I'm capable. I'll do those things, you know. And so she gets excited because I think instead of washing, I don't know what it takes, 4 loads, it only does it in 2. I don't know. It's more capacity, all these things. So she's just like, this is the top. And she got one of those, the floor cleaner, the little robot that's a circle that goes around and cleans the floor, right? Until I find it high-centered on a broomstick at night, and I said, yeah, you think you're good, huh? You couldn't even tell there's a broom handle there, you know? Got stuck. What happened? Your battery run out? You know, I talk trash to it in the morning, but anyhow, get it all cleaned up, and it helped clean the floor, and that's kind of awesome. Get a break from some of those little things. Yeah, that's great. Wonderful. Handy. But one of these days, we'll have to deal with a lot of these things because we will have a rest from a lot of our things that we do and a lot of our normal days. Verse 11, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. I told the people at that funeral, I said, if you don't live your life to give it, you're wasting it. Absolutely wasting. I said, if you're just taking and keeping, I said, you're going to live a miserable life. You'll be a miserable soul. Those people paid attention really well. They paid attention as good as any church I've ever been in. It was pretty cool. I mean, they were like, they're pretty dialed in. And I just told them, I said, look, I said, the only way to live is to give. And I said, the only reason you'd want to give is if you had Jesus inside. Otherwise, we're just as selfish as can be. And we want to keep everything. But mercy, do that. And then you'll enter into that rest. It'll be sweet. I remember Pastor, he'd always talk about when Mrs. Paisley got cancer, the last time she got cancer. And he just said, man, aren't you glad you taught Sunday school all those years? Aren't you glad that you gave and did this all these years? And you look back and said, boy, one of those days, if you get a phone call and doctor said, you will not regret living your life for the Lord. You will not regret giving yourself and not keeping it. The Bible talks about that, keeping our life and losing it, or giving it and keeping it. You'll be so glad that you did. Verse 12, the Bible says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. The spiritual things in life, the emotional things, it can tell between those, and it can help you decide whether you're being emotional or there's a spirit that's controlling something. And the Bible says, of the joints and marrow, because they're different, right? You got marrow, cancer in your marrow, that's bad. Where your blood comes from. You got cancer in your joints or in your bones, that's also bad because it's close to your marrow. That's not good. And none of those things is good, but there's a difference there. And God says the Word of God can split those things, can decide the difference, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I mean, I've been watching some of the most incredible people and listen to the most incredible people that they could listen to a man speak for 5 minutes and from the words that he said, peacefully walk up to the Capitol building. From that, they can determine that they meant take fire extinguishers and bludgeon police officers and tear doors apart and break one. I just can't imagine how they looked all the way into his heart. You can't. Okay. You can't. You have to to listen to somebody and then somebody's like, I don't know. Are they serious? Are they not serious? How can you tell? We're thought discerners. Not really. They already have their vote cast in their heart about how they want to think about somebody, and they don't want to give anybody the benefit of the doubt. I mean, how drastic is it that I look at the old guys, man? It's like, what do you think? It's like, this is absurd. And you get these guys that are just, they're looking, it's like, how could you? And then you get the, oh, he meant exactly what. I mean, there's people that want Rudy Giuliani, like, just trashed. And I thought, mercy. No buildings burned down. Nobody shot. I mean, in this thing, like a planned thing, like a demonstration where you're going to go and hurt. There are no words. But the Bible says the Word of God can be used. What did you mean by that? A lot of times it's you on the inside. When it's a two-edged sword, I could say it cuts both ways. It cuts going out and it cuts going in. And so you read the Bible, and a lot of people don't like the Bible because it tells you what you are. You're like, ooh, that hurt. I better not read that. I better stop right there. That kind of hurts, right? And mercy, a lot of people hide from that because of that. But it will help you. It'll help you. It'll get down in there. It says, man, am I being emotional about this thing? Or is this a spiritual thing? Is this a spirit that's come in that's bothering me? A spirit that just needs to go? A spirit of anger? A bitter? Whatever? That just needs to go? Or is it me? Is it my soul? Am I too attached to this thing? Is it emotion that I'm experiencing? We're complicated at times. We're multiple facets of our lives, body, soul, and spirit. But the Bible will help us to figure these things out. And the intent here in chapter 4 is you'd find that rest. How come I can't get rest? Talk to people. Man, I can't sleep at night. Man, I sleep good. I can sleep standing up. I can sleep sitting down. If you've been at our house, our kitchen table is just like farm style, so we've got benches. And a lot of times on Wednesday nights, after we eat dinner, like I will lay down on the bench. The kids get up, push up. I just look at my wife. I said, 2 minutes. Give me 2 minutes. And I lay on that bench. And I love it. I like it, unless Reed comes and licks my face. But I just sit there, lay on that bench, close my eyes. And then I got up tonight and I said, that bench is dangerous. I said, 2 minutes can become three very quickly if you're not careful. But mercy, I don't have any trouble going to sleep. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. Your thoughts and your intents aren't hidden from God. There's no creatures that are hid from God. They're hunting people down, asking for help, finding all these people that breached security last week. And they're finding them in different states. Did anybody see that one of them guys was an Olympic swimmer? Did anybody see that? Or I can't remember if he actually competed in the Olympics or what, but I was just like, mercy. All kinds of people. Bible says, neither is there any creature that's not manifest in His sight. All things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. I don't want anything to do with Him. No, no, no. You don't get a choice. He's the one that you have to do. Like, oh man, that's the Lord. My intent should be right. And praise the Lord. So you look at that verse and be at, oh no, or it can be, oh no, this is good. With whom we have to do, and we know who that is. Last three tonight, we'll be done. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Now, that's a profession in Christ. That's not your trade. That is your words that come from your heart, that you profess Christ. The Bible says there in Romans 10, if we believe in our hearts, right, we confess with our mouth, but we believe it in our hearts, we'll hold fast to that. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Remember last week we talked about that. Jesus had come and He came to bind us up. He came to bind up broken-hearted people to help our infirmities. The Bible says, but was in all points tempted like as doesn't say were, does it? It says are. He's with us all the way. He's with us all the time. He's with you all stages of life. Tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And 16 is just a great, great promise and an exhortation. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We're going to have a meeting here at the church tomorrow night, and we're going to talk about forming a third political party, and we're going to vote on a new name, and we're going to get this thing straightened out. And I heard all kinds of talk like that today. I said, oh, my soul. House divided can't stand. I mean, it just won't work. So I said, you don't just do the right thing. Do the right thing. Grace to help in time of need. And you say, well, what's the need? Well, if we need help, so we're going to need some grace. And preachers said, boy, if it's not of grace, it didn't come from God. And that's what we need, is grace. I was listening to gentleman on 7. I think it's Greg Kelly, and he listened to the president. The president said, "Boy, be kind. Find ways to make peace. Find ways to be peaceful." He said, "I'm going to reach out to some people that are social enemies on the social media thing, and I'm going to try to find some common ground tonight. I'm going to pick a few people and take it." I said, hey, at least it's a start. It's so rare to find people that would ever learn, you know, take something like that and implement a help in their life and actually try. Because you have to humble yourself and say, what we're doing is not working. But I'll tell you right now, it doesn't take a PhD to see that it's not working, right? It's you people. Nobody's ever going to come over and want to eat dinner saying it's you people. I use this one illustration, we're done. My father-in-law and his next-door neighbor growing up were about as far apart politically as you can imagine. Unbelievable. I mean, just both of them great. I love them both. Good guys. I love them both. But, I mean, as far apart as you could ever be. But yet, I would watch them talk and fellowship and spend time and have dinner and stuff. And sometimes they would get after it a little bit. Always friends. And I just said, I always impressed me. Because I know I've had feelings. And I said, I could never talk to them. That's exactly what the devil would want you to feel. I could never talk to them. I hope you could. They're a soul. They're a soul. On their way to hell. Forget about their affiliations and their thoughts and that they don't value life the way that you do or the way that God does or that... They're a soul. Look at them. Try to get through all that stuff. The devil's just trying to throw this stuff up. Oh, don't talk to them. They're a this. They're a that. They're a... Strike a blow for freedom. No. We need grace to help in time of need. We don't produce our own grace, so we got to go to the source. God, give us grace. We're meat-headed. We're just as bad. We can be just as bad. No. We won. No. I mean, it's terrible. It is absolutely terrible. So we'll work on that, right? Work on some grace. He promised that he would help us find some rest, help us get some grace. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll take our prayer request tonight. Father, thank you for your goodness to us, and we love you. Thank you so much that we can enter boldly. Father, we don't have to take a number and wait for weeks and weeks. Lord, we thank you so much. We can come boldly, and we can ask you to help us, Lord. You've had this system set up from the foundation, Father. You said there's going to be a day of rest. And Lord, I pray in our hearts we would be at rest knowing that you're in control. We'd read the Word of God. We'd let ourselves be chopped up by the Word of God and placed where we need to be. Father, show us the intents of our heart. And if they're ugly, then our thoughts aren't right and our intentions aren't right. Help us to change those things. Father, help us don't just to strive to be right, but strive to be righteous, to be holy, to be godly people. And Father, not to fall short of these things. Lord, we live in frustrating days. But I can't imagine living under the oppression, Father, that Christians lived with in the first century and survived and flourished, Lord. And we pray that you bless our prayer time tonight. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. came in. There's a fresh prayer sheet in the back. I was negligent to add Brother